wonderful time for you. We have some of the most wonderful young men that are really, really fine preachers, and they're fine ministers. And I just want to let you know that when these young men are preaching or teaching on Wednesdays, Sundays, whenever, come and support them. Our worship team, honestly, I've been around a lot. I really have. I've seen lots of worship teams, lots of ministries. We have one of the finest. We really do. And it is such great quality. And so make it a point to be faithful. September is kind of one of those times where you just kind of mentally kind of recalculate. And you're thinking, it's not the first of the year, of course, but we recalculate and we start thinking, wow, here we are. And it's like a new time frame. So just whatever you do, be faithful to God's house. And I just want to thank God for these that are going to be serving and working with us. And Pastor Shane and Cameron. I don't see Cameron. Where's he at?
He'll be right back. He'll be right back.
All right. And Jake, different ones. I shouldn't have gone on names. Rob, just we got a great crew. Our board is going to be serving our communion next weekend. And so just I pray you'll be here. One thing I do want to mention as well, that our prayer meeting tonight, we're not going to have it. It was told me that some are not going to be here. So we won't. But next week, we're back on schedule. All right? All right. Yes, ma'am. I mean, sir. Pardon? Oh, did we not dismiss the kids? All right, kids, you're dismissed. Chapter 28, let's get to business. I'm going to kind of skip to get to where I want to go. Verse 6 says that when Esau saw that Isaac had been blessed, and Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him for him a wife, that he blessed him and gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." And Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto him wives. Here's the problem, is that Esau and Jacob were two different people. Do you recognize that? One had a heart of great obedience and one did not. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba, went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there a night. So in the midst of all of this that had happened, basically Jacob had deceived his father. He inherited the blessing. His brother Esau was incredibly angry with him, and so he's on flight. He's on flight to Uncle Laban's house. He's ready to go, and he's getting out of Dodge. He had to get away. And so verse 11 says, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun had set. And he took stones in the place and he put them for pillows and laid down that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And he held a ladder and set it up beheld a ladder and it set up. And the top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac, and the land wherein thou liest. To you I will give it and to your seed. Verse 14, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad upon the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you. I will keep you in all the places you go. And I will bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have said to you that I will do. Verse 16. And Jacob awakened. Now listen to this. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and is the gate of heaven. You know, I'd like to really take the beginning of my thought from verse 16. When he woke from sleep, and he said this, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I think that's pretty amazing. I'd like to go back to this thought. I've had several people say this to me since we had Stand With Israel weekend. I've had people suggest to me that since we had that weekend and we honored Israel, that our church has been different and that God has been doing something different. Don't raise your hand because you just like to raise your hand or you're not sure. But have you sensed anything different from that weekend? Raise your hand. All right. It's okay. I have felt like in the last several months that God is doing something different. And he's moving in a sovereign pattern in our house in a way like we've never known, possibly. And I really feel like that when the scripture says that when the Lord comes again, will he find faith on the earth? My concern is when Jesus comes again, is he going to find within the ship or within the hall of his church, is he going to find what has pleased him? Is he going to find what has really been the heart of God all the time? And I find how Jacob, I find how he goes to sleep. He puts these rocks, props himself up. He begins to sleep. And all of a sudden, he sees a ladder. The ladder's up, huge into the sky, far beyond anything he can imagine the atmosphere. And then he sees angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. And then of all the things at the end, he sees someone at the top of that ladder and he knows it is the Lord. And God speaks to him and begins to give him literally not a command alone, but he's telling him what I am going to do. You've recognized it and I'm going to follow through. I'd like to suggest this morning that God is a very special worker. And you know what? Sometimes we are in unrealized places and we don't realize his presence and his power. We don't realize really what he's wanting to do, but he has such a desire to do it. I think of two men on the road to Emmaus. This was right after resurrection. And the Bible says they knew there was something different about this man, and they knew there was something amazing about what he was saying. In fact, as they got closer to their house, they begged him, would you come in and break bread with us? And Jesus said, yes, I will. But the Bible says they knew something was amazingly different about this man. Who is this? I don't know how that works. All I know is maybe in the glorified body as Jesus was, resurrected. They could not see him. They didn't see him maybe the way they had once seen him. I personally believe that when we stand in eternity, we will be known as we were known. I'm convinced that you'll know me and I will know you. So I don't know how they missed this. But the Bible says that when Jesus took bread, they'd asked him, they invited him to pray, and he took the bread and he blessed it. The Bible says that at that moment as he distributed the bread among the three of them, the Bible says he was gone, just like that. And I think there was something amazing because it's possible that as they looked at the bread for the first time, they really recognized that the hands that held that loaf of bread were hands that also had the spikes, that once bore the spikes and the the result and what's there still is upon his hands, the imprints. I'm amazed at that story, and that story amazes me that you can walk with Jesus that long from Jerusalem to Emmaus and not know that it was Jesus. And I'm amazed this morning that anything to happen, but what is it? I don't know. Church, I'm not walking around in a circle. I want you to understand that I think sometimes when we gather in the house of God like this, we should come with such an anticipation, such a something with introspection, a desire that God is going to meet us there, and we know who He is. We have been in His Word, so we know who He is. He is the living God. We have felt and know His Spirit because His Spirit lives in us, walks in us, and is ever present with us 24/7. We know that when we gather in a house like this corporately, something wonderful ought to happen. And it ought to be the presence of our God in the midst of us. Jacob said as he lay there that night, he woke up and he knew, and in his mind he said, surely, surely this had to be the temple. This has to be where God dwells. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's not where God would dwell per se, because He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands alone. He dwells also in the entire cosmos. But the truth of the matter is that He had been there. And have you ever been to some place and you didn't smell, literally, you didn't smell the sense or the aroma, but you knew there was such a sense or an aroma in your spirit that God had been in that place? Have you ever been there before? I may not be preaching to this morning, but I'm preaching for our future. And I'm just wanting to tell you that God's eyes go to and fro throughout the entire earth, seeking whom He may be strong on behalf of. And I want you to know that God is watching. He's going. I see Him going up this direction and down that direction. He moves from church to church, from body to body, from city to city, from geographics and zones. He wants to be able to be known of His people. Listen, God wants to show Himself mighty in this house like He's never done. And I want to say the same thing that Jacob said. When we wake up, when we leave church, when we go to lunch, when we sit in our homes this afternoon, when we're driving to work tomorrow, is it possible that we will say something like this? You know what? God was there and I didn't even know it. God was there and I did not allow myself to perceive or to proceed forward in what I knew He wanted to do. And I just want to say, I think this is a very special house. It really is. And I believe God is going to do great things if we would recognize this that I'm saying to you. Would you go to Luke chapter 5 with me, please? I'll give you a moment to get there. In Luke 5, there are several places that speak so clearly and so powerful of Jesus not necessarily being known at first and recognize who He was. Or maybe if they knew that He was Jesus of Nazareth, they weren't sure that He was truly the Lord yet. And so where I'm going with this is I want you to hear and understand. Listen in chapter 5. When Jesus gave the expectation in verse 4 to launch out into the deep, and Simon had the audacity to say to Him, you know what, we've fished all night and haven't caught a thing. You ever done that before? It says that when He had done this, He spoke, and this is what Jesus said in verse 5. He said, nevertheless, at your word, we will go and we will let down our net. Jesus had asked them to let down their net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and the net began to break. And they beckoned to their partners, come and help them. I love what verse 8 says, because Simon, when he saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees. And he said for me, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was what? Astonished. Is it possible that we could end up being astonished more than we actually are people that really have a place of believing that this was just normal? I wonder what would happen if we said, Lord, be normal in this house. What would it look like? Be pretty amazing, would it not? He was astonished. And from there he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I go down to verse 12. It says, and it came to pass in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who saw Jesus fall on him. He fell on his face and sought Jesus, saying, if thou will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. I think it's possible we don't have enough, Lord, if you will. Look this way. Lord, if you will. I think that's what's left out of the equation many times, is that we don't bring, if you will, into the house of the Lord with us. We don't put it in our heart as we walk through those doors. We're not really placing, if you will, in a place where God says, I will, and he'll do it that morning. He'll do it that day as you sit in his presence wherever you are. Listen to what it says again at the end of verse 12. The man said this with leprosy. He says, if thou wilt. You know what? He wasn't afraid to reach out and to say it. Thou canst make me clean. Says, and he put forth his hand and touched him and said, what did Jesus say? I will. If thou wilt, I will. Oh God, may we come to a place of knowing that, Lord, we are people that are saying to you, Lord, if you will. God, have mercy upon us. I love what it says in the same chapter, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day that he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors sitting by. Now Jesus was teaching. It says, which when they had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I mean, honestly, tell me something. When was the last time you came into church and you came in and you sat down, and as you sat there, you, instead of looking at new clothes and other people and just around the building, is it possible that you began to recognize that the presence of God is here to heal? This is what I'm saying to you. This is what Jacob did. Jacob looked as he saw God standing at the top of the ladder, and he saw angels ascending and descending. And when he stood the next morning and he kind of shook himself, he said, surely I didn't know it, that God was in this place. I don't want us to be a church like that. I don't want us to come every week in and out and in and out and in and out, and we have no idea that God is in this place and what he might do. Amen. I want us to be in total touch with what he wants and what he's going to do and where he's going to take us, and most of all, where he's going to take you. Sometimes I think we want him to help everybody else except us. And I think sometimes we need to be the ones that say, God, I am here. Amen. I think we should be the one that says, Lord, if you will. Lynn is saying to you, if you will, would you meet me here this morning? I know a lot of people don't have the need I have. They don't think the way I think, maybe. They don't know where they are in these kind of areas. But Lord, I know where I'm at. And if you will. And he says, I will. Amen. I will. And to the leper, he was healed. Imagine Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers sitting in this amazing place. And they're sitting and they're listening to Jesus teach. It's obvious to me in that scripture that I just read you, they didn't know that the presence of God was there to heal. So what in the world are they doing there? I think some to criticize, some to catch him in his words, some just to see if he's who everybody says he is. There's a whole lot of ideas in these robes that are black, and these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and lawyers. They were there for a lot of reasons. And they didn't even know that the power of God was there to heal. Now, don't take this wrong. I hope you take this as a pastor's message. I'm not trying to preach like an evangelist. Blow in, blow up, and blow out. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to tell you this, that the day is short. It's far spent. We may not even have the privilege to see another Paul Bunyan day. That's not to be negative or put you in fear. But the day is upon us that we need to live it out today.
That's right.
Church, what do we do when we come together? What do we sense? What do we feel? What's God going to do? Do we have any idea? The Bible says, as they sat in the presence of Jesus teaching, I love this. The Bible tells us truly that they didn't even know that the presence of God was there to heal. Wow. Okay, for me personally, I don't want to come into the church as a pastor and not know what God's up to. When I come in here, I want to have an idea what He's up to. And I want other brothers to know what He's up to. I want you to know that sisters, handmaidens of the Lord, that God is really up to some things today. I want also you to tell you that you and I should be beginning to sense that when He wants to move with gifts of the Spirit, then let's allow the gifts to be in operation. You are not ignorant. You have had teaching, you've been taught, you know the truth. You have terrific leadership in the house, not just me. Allow God to be God in this house.
Yes.
And I just want to tell you something. He is up to things that is not going to be out of line. God doesn't do things that are out of line. He doesn't do things that are going to just cause half the church to split because He says, let's see how far I can split the church. God doesn't work that way. He is wanting to build and to lift up and to cause the kingdom begin to full and to fill itself with anointing and power that it can go again into a city and they will know that there is a Savior in that city. So I'm saying, maybe check out at the door and leave some of your activities, some of your ideas for the day, all the things you want to do, all the things you have to do, just leave them outside the door. And when you come corporately in, say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Lord, Thou canst. And Jesus says, I know I can. Be healed. Be saved. Be touched. Be delivered. Be blessed by My power. Please look this way. I have a concern. One of my concerns is that I think sometimes we don't want that necessarily to be here. I think that we are kind of like putting these things in a place. I don't think I want to experience this today. That's such a danger. Why would you not want to experience more of God? Why would you not want to be able to weep at an altar if God's leading you? Even if you stayed 15 minutes and tears were just erupting, why would you not stay at an altar? Why would you not want to experience Him? I think that sometimes we feel like, I can't get into this circle with your speaking, Pastor, because I am so unworthy. Who told you you're unworthy? If the Son sets free, you are free indeed. If the blood has covered your sin, you're cleansed and forgiven. Who tells you you're unworthy? Who says you have no ability or you have no right to pray in a prayer group here or to lay hands upon the sick with five or six others? Who tells you that? If Christ is Savior and if He is truly Lord, leave your guilt at the door. Leave all of the feelings like, I just don't have enough time for that kind of stuff. You know what? You go on long enough and you won't. Maybe you ought to find a body maybe that just doesn't have time for that stuff either. But it may not be alive. You want to walk in life, don't you?
Yeah.
Me too. I think it's so true how easy it is to sometimes to put these things off and to say, Lord, I just don't have that kind of time. So I want to bring you back to this scripture because I want to prepare to close with this. Listen to this. I'll start in 17 of chapter 5 again. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors, and they're sitting by. They had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing? Pretty good-sized church right there. We'd have been pretty thrilled with the numbers. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Please don't, you need to see that. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Connecting, and behold, men brought in a bed a man that had been taken sick in palsy. And they sought a way or a means to bring him into lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find any way to bring him in, the Bible says, bring him in because of the multitude, they went atop the housetop and they led him through the tiling down the entire couch and all into the midst before Jesus. 10 to 1 says that these four or five guys already had sensed that the presence of God was there to heal. And they weren't going to let anything get in their way. They weren't going to let anything stop them. Please listen to me closely. When the presence of God is here to touch His people, to save His people, to engraft the Word into our hearts in supernatural glory and power, when God wants to take and show His love, when we sense such a lack of love maybe, God is present here to do it. You need to jump in. For all that God has for us. And the Bible says they took and they pulled the thatch back, they lowered the man down, and they lowered it into the presence of Jesus. I can only imagine what these guys thought, the Pharisees and scribes, the lawyers. These guys are nuts. They're crazy. This is what's a bad name given to religion all the time because these guys are way too whatever. But when God begins to move, wow, is that awesome. It says, and when he saw their faith. So think about this. In verse 17 at the very end says, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Verse 20 says, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, your sins are forgiven thee. Scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? And Jesus perceived that their thoughts, what they were, and he answering said to them, what reason ye in your hearts, and why do you? Is it easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? But that they may know that the Son of Man hath power upon this world to forgive and earth to forgive, he said to him, the sick of the palsy, I say to you, rise, take up your couch and go to your own house. Amen? Amen? This might sound crude to you. Maybe no one's ever said it this way before. But the rich man that died and his eyes opened and he was in hell in Luke. How many's ever read that before? Think about this. He lifted his eyes. He can see. He felt he was in torment. He could feel. He cried out to Father Abraham. He had a will. And even his tongue, in shame and in pain, was on fire. Why do I say that to you? It's because you'll say to me this morning, Pastor, you're saying a bunch of stuff that you know what? I go to church a lot and I don't feel this, I don't sense this, I don't see this, I don't think this, I don't. If the rich man can go to hell and he can feel and he can see and he can think and he can cry out in the flames, in the torment of hell, how much more can God's people come into God's presence and feel and sense and see and have a thought according to the word that God God is moving in that house. Don't give me the excuse that, you know what, God doesn't do it the way I can feel it. Lord, when God wants to be with his people, you'll know it. And I'd like to say it's time for us to say, Lord, I know it. I want it. We want it. Now, this is not a sermon for you to try a bunch of new stuff tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. I don't want to come back and find out that you tried about 15 different approaches to something new to just see if God would show up. That's not what I'm saying. If you're here in the house of the Lord, you are faithful. You are absolutely in the place that God wants you. If you come with a heart that's hungry, secondly, you're hungry for him, he will feed you and meet you right where you are. And thirdly, if you've gathered one with another, he is going to be in your midst and you don't need to expect anybody else there. He's going to do an awesome thing in your midst. And I just challenge this great church. Listen to me. The days that are coming, we have to do more than just kind of sit and believe and have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Now is the day to rise up, oh man, and see what God's going to do in us. I say praise God. Amen? Amen. So, David. Say David. You know what I love a lot about David? There's so much. David is one of my favorites. He's in my top two or three in the Old Testament. Joseph is number one. But I want to tell you this about David. Something that you don't think of David when you're running down the litany of who David was. David was an amazing individual in this. And unlike a lot of people around him, especially leadership, David was a man that was teachable and had a teachable spirit. That's true. Say teachable. And he was teachable throughout all of his life. Even when a prophet would point his finger and say, David, you're the man, he was teachable. David was teachable to say, God, I know. When God spoke to him and said, I'll give you three choices because you have sinned. And what did David do? He numbered the soldiers in Israel. My thought to you this morning is that God spoke and David was teachable. So I just want to tell you this. There's a whole lot more that's going to happen in these coming days than what I'm able to preach to you this morning. But I want to say to you, be teachable. Amen?
Amen.
Be flexible. Be willing. Think of it. You know, the stars, they're hemmed in by galaxies. Let God begin to put his arms around us and hem us in and say, there's more for you, my children. You know, the oceans, they're hemmed in by the banks of the continents around the globe. Sometimes we just need to say, God, let us feel your presence. Hem us in, God. Just flow in our midst. Do a marvelous thing in us. God never faces anything that he cannot meet. And God today is building his church. He's building us not on sand. He's building us on foundation. He's building us upon his presence. And I'm saying to you this morning, in the coming days, as you wake up like Jacob, and Jacob shook himself and said, what just happened to me last night? The dream, the vision that I had was overwhelming. Then he began to recognize he now is not seeing God there. Now he's not seeing the angels nor a ladder. But he's sensing that God was in this place. That's the kind of church I want to be in. That's the kind of church I want to attend. I want to be where God is there. And we're hemmed in by his presence. We're flowing powerfully because of his might. We know that he is so faithful to us. Amen? So, the greatest enemy to a teachable spirit like David's is that we forget and don't care what we just heard. I'm challenging you, be teachable and watch what God will do. Come prepared. Come watching. Gifts of the Spirit, come prepared for God to use you. Anointing, come again that you once had and let it be used of God. You believe in James 5. Pray at the altars when leadership says, let's pray, laying hands one upon the other. Let's come expecting. Let's come believing. Let's see what God will do in our midst. Amen?
Amen.
And in short term, Take it from there back to the H2H groups. Take it back to smaller areas. Take it to the confines of where you know your friends. And watch God be God. Stand with me, will you? Hallelujah. Praise God. If God by His Spirit sovereignly began to move in our midst right now, just look up here and consider, and sovereignly the Holy Spirit began to move, it's not something necessarily we see, but in our spirit we know. And God began to break us, and we felt a contrition like we have never felt before. What would you do with that? Would you be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees? You have no idea. When in reality, God had begun to move in that place and the Spirit of the Lord was there to heal. And God began to heal. If contrition fell, much like healing, would we be willing to allow it? Would we sense it? Or do we have a whole lot more about our 4th of July week or our Labor Day weekend? That's not bad, that we'd rather fulfill. So my challenge is before you, when God moves in this great house, let's be open and honest before Him. Let's sense what God is doing. Amen? Amen. God's Word has guidelines. Leadership is here for guidelines. And God wants to touch our hearts. Let's do so. Amen? Amen. Father, thank You for Your people. Thank You for such a great church, Lord. I love You and I thank You for it. Lord, I pray that as we kind of mentally look at September 1st, like a kind of a recalculating towards the rest of the year, at least until September or our January, may we recalculate what do You want to do with us, Lord, these next 4 or 5 months. God, have Your way in us. May we sense it. Lord, may we come from prayer meetings knowing what You're saying. May we come out of our cars, like walking across our parking lot, and cheerfully loving one another, but coming into the house knowing that we have an expectancy that God is in this place. And He's going to do things that is biblically sound and according to His roots. I pray that, Lord, that we would see things done like never before. I thank You, Lord. I give You praise. And these are things we ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. And all of God's people say, amen. 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 Isn't God good?
Yes.
All the time?
All the time.
And how about all the time?
All the time.
God's good. Amen?
Amen.
The altars are open. And I would love for you to feel really led to come to them. I've let you out. This is probably a land speed record for me to let you out at 11:30. I've never seen that before. Didn't even know it existed. But nevertheless, I just want you to know the altars are open for you. We love you. Go ahead.
Since Pastor and Donna are taken off, we'd like to get the board to come forward, and let's pray for them before they go.